soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Greetings from Guardian Mountain. Tonight's talk is on life outside of time. The last talk, The Still Small Voice, we touched on the fact that Christ lives in the eternal, everywhere present now. Well, we've all heard that God is in the now, and if we want to experience God, we have to dwell in the now. But maybe we haven't quite realized that we are being instructed to step outside of time. We have decided that we want to come into the inheritance of our eternal life. We have decided that we want to put on our own immortality. But immortal life does not exist in time and space. And if we are to accept our immortal life given to us of the Father, then we must find that life that exists outside of time and in the eternal now. In that span of life on earth called a human life, that life exists in time. Born on such and so a date, and passing out of the picture on another date. A parenthesis, Joe called it. And we are in this class going to find the way to step outside of the parenthesis. Because we must come to see, we must realize now that a human life, a certain span of years, that takes place in time and space, is not life at all. What God did not make was not made. And everything and anything that God made is eternal. God made life eternal. Is this human life, this human span, an eternal life? We all know better than that. We know that when the ceremony is over at the gravesite and everyone goes off their own way, that human life is ended. And it may be 50 years or 100 years, but sooner or later, it will not even be remembered. We know enough to know that whole civilizations come and go, and the millions of lives that take place on Earth are not even remembered. That's not life. Your life is not taking place in time. My life is not taking place in time. This is a mental image, a human dream, an Adam dream, A-D-A-M, Adam. and God did not create it. Therefore, we must come to grips with this. We must find that eternal life, which is the only life that God made. What God made is eternal. What God did not make was not made, according to John. And so this human span of life that you have called you and I have called me is not a life at all, was not created by God, and is only a dream, an image in the mind. Yet some of us, in our meditations, in our prayer, are beginning to sense another life, an eternal life, an eternal presence, Christ life, Christ presence. And this life is the life that we must step into. But to step into an eternal now, we must step out of time that is not passing. You see, time is not passing. That too is a part of the Adam dream. And everyone that accepts the dream that time is passing pays the penalty of that belief. And the penalty of that belief is the aging process, becoming incapacitated, becoming old, unable to function as we once did, losing our faculties. You see, the human span of life that takes place in time comes to an end, and the end is always the same. The human life dies. If you live in a human life, a human sense of existence, the end is going to be death. Paul told us that the wages of sin was death, and this is what he meant. The sin, the mistake of accepting a human span of life, living inside of time, the wages of that are death. But you and I have decided to come into our inheritance as the offspring of the Most High. And our eternal Father has given us an eternal life. Jesus Christ proved this, and he proved it by demonstration, not by talking, not by writing something down. He proved it through actual demonstration that you cannot kill eternal life. Eternal life cannot die. That's why it is eternal. And he proved that he was living, dwelling, and having his being in eternity before they nailed Jesus to the cross. He told us, I have overcome the world of time and space. And then he proved it. They tried to kill his form, and everyone thought that they had succeeded. But Christ, that eternal life, was looking on and smiling, probably smiling a little sadly. And in 3 days' time, he took up his form again and functioned again on earth. Over 500 people saw him. 500 people saw him. He had proved that you can step out of time, and stepping out of time and into your eternity, your eternal self, you have abolished death. Now, Paul came along later, and walking on the road to Damascus, he saw Christ. in form and had the realization that you cannot kill eternal Christ. And so startling was it that he also realized his own eternal self and became blinded to this world for a time. But later he let us know that he had come into this awareness. He told us that neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God, from the presence of God, from that eternal life. He realized that death had been overcome, and that by stepping outside of time. John, who 30 years after Christ Jesus left this plane and entered the invisible, told us that one of the final things that happens is time shall be no more. And you and I have been, well, we've sort of had one foot in the mortal realm of passing time, and one foot trying to establish a foothold in our eternal life. And we cannot live in both worlds. It cannot be done. We must find what these people found, a way to step outside of time. And now I want to read from Joel's book, God Formed Us for His Glory. And he gives us a hint about dying to passing time. He says, to enter the kingdom of God, which means to enter your eternal life, because the kingdom of God is your eternal life, my friends. The kingdom of God and eternal life is one and the same. Where does God dwell? In the kingdom. Where does God dwell? In your eternal life. Your eternal life is the kingdom. And so you are stepping out of passing time and into the kingdom, your eternal life. To enter the kingdom of God, therefore, means to die. But not to die in the sense of having a funeral and being buried. But dying in the sense of giving up oneself, surrendering that idea of a personal self. The self that would be preserved is diseased mentally, physically, and morally. Of course, because it's taking place in passing time. It's a dream. It is only in the surrender of that sense of self that the true self, the eternal self, is born. The self that is health, the self that is harmony, success, peace, joy, and dominion. The death that prepares you for heaven is not an experience in time or space. See, we have thought that we could do this and somehow hang on to our humanhood. The reason that it all takes place in consciousness, within your consciousness, and it takes place at the point of your readiness for the experience. The reason that a person is not always ready for the experience of attaining the God realization, even after he believes that he wants it, is that he does not recognize that there is an interval of preparation between the desire for God experience and the realization itself. He does not recognize the importance of or the necessity of sloughing off the old concepts, such as the belief in time. and he believes that the kingdom of God can be added to his humanhood. He believes that he can be the same human being today that he was yesterday, and just add to his humanhood the kingdom of God. Now, we can kind of see, just on what we've said so far today, that that's an impossibility, can't we? How can you possibly add eternal life to passing time? How can you add in life that is taking place in eternity right now, a life that is omnipresent, everywhere and every when, how can you add that to a little parenthesis, a lifespan that is taking place in time? The two are incompatible. Mortality must be put off, and we must put on that eternal life, that immortal life. Mortality is a myth. We've been told this over and over. But perhaps we just can't seem to come to grips with it. Yet here's the Christ telling us through Jesus, through Paul, through John, and now Joel, that your eternal life will never take place in time and space. The lifespan that takes place over the years in time is the mortal dream and must be put off. And Joel says that we have to know the truth and know the truth and know the truth and know the truth. You and I, individually, must begin to realize that we do not have a life in time and space, that we cannot add eternal life to that picture that is appearing in time and space, that we cannot hang on to anything or anyone in that span of life called human, that we must let go of all of it, surrender all of it, and become willing to go to any length to step into our own eternal life. Take this into your closet. Do not tell anybody what you are doing, but meditate on these truths. Meditate on the fact that there is no life in passing time. Anything that has ever taken place in time has not taken place in eternity. Eternity, we must get this into our consciousness. Eternity is not something that's going to start tomorrow. Eternity is not something that started yesterday. Eternity is now, and you, your real life, exists in that eternal now and is going on whether or not you are aware of it. If you are only aware of a human span taking place in passing time, then you have not yet woke up. And Christ says to you, awake, awake, thou that sleepest. If you are only aware of a human span of life between this date and this date, then you must go back to the truths that Christ uttered, that Paul uttered, that John uttered, that Joel uttered, and see where it speaks of your eternal life. We have reached the place in our evolution and our involution where we are ready to come out of time and be separate. And we must look at this limited lifespan and realize that it is not a life, and let it go consciously. When we think the word I, let us not think of this human life taking place in passing time. When we think the word I, let us realize now that we are speaking from that eternal life, that I is the eternal life. I, the eternal life, taking place right now, in the eternal now, everywhere and every when, simultaneously, that is my life. That is your life. Because there is only one eternal life. In the beginning, God created man in His image and likeness. He created one. And Adam fell asleep and had a dream and dreamt all these individual lifespans taking place in passing time. But now, we are awakening from that dream. We are eating of the tree of life and discovering what Christ told us. If you follow me, if you step into my presence and recognize it as yours, you will come to see that you are also living in the eternal now. In other words, if you lay down your life that appears to be taking place in time, you will be born into the awareness of your eternal life. If you die, you will awaken to life eternal. Do we see how the truth has been here for thousands of years, and it was only necessary for us to get the ears that could hear and the eyes that could see? Time is not passing. You do not live inside of a bag of bones in time and space that will rot away and disappear. You live in, as, and through Christ. And Christ lives as you in the eternal now. Jesus said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But those that eat of the bread that I shall give him, that Christ gives them, shall live forever. And the bread is my life, eternal life." And so he was telling the people, yes, your ancestors had the miracle of manna falling from the sky, and they ate that manna, but they all died because none of them discovered their own eternal life. No, they all looked to Moses to save them instead of discovering the Christ within them, instead of discovering the God self within. In each of you, in all of you hearing this message, the Christ self, your eternal life, exists right now. And you have, sort of suffered amnesia for a while, forgetting who you were, forgetting who you are. But now we are all coming to, aren't we? We are awakening, And we are remembering our own identity. And your identity is the eternal Christ presence. God is the only life. Christ, the presence of God, Christ is the only life. Christ is the only presence. Christ is the only form. And Christ is outside of time. And Christ includes you. Because Christ is you. You are Christ. One life. Individualized. One eternal life individualized right now. And so Jesus was telling them, find your eternal life. If you eat this bread, which he called my life, which Christ said through him was the eternal life, you will live forever. And he knew that some of the disciples were hearing his message, because he said, there are some standing here which will not taste of death. No, they will not taste of death because they have stepped outside of time, outside of a life that takes place in passing time. Does this mean that all of your so-called personal accomplishments have amounted to nothing? Well, if they took place in passing time, will they not all turn to dust? That's the end of anything that takes place in passing time, is dust. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But here we are given the opportunity to step outside of time. Here we are given the opportunity to come into the full awareness of our eternal selfhood. And when that functions as us, well, that functions in eternity. Christ said, my words shall not pass away. If Christ is speaking through you, then Christ's words will not pass away, because they are already taking place in the foreverness of the eternal one self. Do you see how we limit ourselves to a third dimension? We must come up higher. We must learn to function in a fourth dimension and a fifth dimension. We must come into the acceptance of our own eternal life. So yes, any accomplishment performed by a human being that will pass away has taken place in passing time, which is a dream. But that also means that any of your so-called failures have taken place in passing time. And God did not create passing time. Therefore, your failures were never made. That is why it's just as harmful to have a sense of personal self that is bloated and big and thinks it's something special. It's just as harmful to be an egomaniac as it is to think that you're a failure and no good and not worth anything. Those are the two sides of the human span. And we don't want either one. Both keep us from the awareness of our eternal life. And both take place only in passing time. So we must relinquish both of them. We really must step into a new dimension, a life outside of time. As we take this into our meditation, and begin to get a sense of an eternal, ongoing, ever-present life, right here, right now. As we get a sense of a self that is everywhere and everywhen, then the human lifespan taking place in passing time drops away. We die out of the tomb. That parenthesis, that span of life, is a tomb. And we were shown that we can step right out of the tomb. Christ stepped right out of the tomb of mortality. That's what that was showing us, that Christ can step out of the tomb of mortality, out of the tomb of the mortal myth, out of the tomb of passing time, and step right out and reveal itself to the disciples. And in our individual experience, in our meditation, Christ will step right out of the tomb of passing time and reveal itself to you, in you, and as you. When this happens, you will not really be able to speak of it for a time. So astounding will it be. So earth-shattering. Paul was blinded. You may be unable to speak for a time. Oh, you may walk around with a smile on your face as you've never had before, because you will have found your secret identity. You will have stepped outside of time. And the experiences that come to those who dwell in eternity are really so sacred that we cannot help but keep them secret. Unless, of course, we're called upon to share them with another who has had similar experiences. But generally, we will not talk of them. They are too sacred to us. Do we begin to see that we must step out of this tomb in which we have been buried? And remember, most of us have not been buried for a short time. We have been buried in this tomb for eons. I'm sure that most of us were around in one form or another when Christ Jesus spoke to the crowds. We may have been so buried in the tomb at the time that we were crying out the loudest, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But isn't it a wonderful thing that no one will be left outside of the kingdom? No one will be left outside of the awareness of their eternal self. And so if it's taken thousands of years for us to get here, so what? We're here now. Here is our opportunity. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Will you serve that life that takes place in passing time? Or will you take the steps to come out of passing time and step into your eternal life? Will you ask the Father to reveal itself, to reveal that Christ life, that eternal self? Or will you decide to do that some other time and go ahead and spend your time, watching television or knitting booties? The choice is yours. It makes no difference to the universe whether you come home now or come home 500 years from now. But it makes a difference to you, because at the end of a human span, we all know what's waiting. There is death again. And then we have a little rest and come back and start again. Do we not see that when we step out of passing time and the dream of a human span, when we awaken to our eternal Christ life, that death is abolished, that death has been overcome and overcome forever? if you are dwelling in your forever self, you can never be born. You may take a form, and you may teach others of their eternal self, and you may step out of form back into the invisible, but you will never be born, and you will never die. Begin now, however difficult it is, to acknowledge that whatever human span, whatever human life has taken place in passing time, was not a life at all. Begin to set aside any attachments you have to any other human life in passing time. Be brave enough to come out of all that, to step into your own immortality, to step into the one life that exists as you, as me, as all, to step into the one life that is God, and then to allow God to live its life where you are, to live its life through you, to talk through you, to walk through you, to be you. We are told that now is the accepted time, and that, well, what did Jesus say? For now is my kingdom. And so there is no tomorrow kingdom, because again, I remind you, the kingdom of God and your eternal self are different words for the same identity. If you are the identity of Christ, and Christ is your identity, then God dwells in you. If you are in the kingdom of heaven, then God dwells in the kingdom. You see how the words are different, but the experience is the same. Therefore, to know God aright is to know your eternal self, your timeless, eternal self. Yourself is functioning now in eternity, on all levels simultaneously. Yourself has never been born. Yourself, your eternal self, was immaculately conceived. You are told to call no man on earth your father. That is because you have no human life. The only father you have is God, the Creator. And what God made is eternal. We are told, or are beginning to perceive, that this really turns your world inside out. When you live in a personal human span of life, you live in a world of duality. There's you, and then there's the world outside of you. But when you live in your eternal self, the world shall be no more. The world rolls up like a scroll. And so there is no more world external to you. When you live in the eternal plane of existence right now, simultaneously everywhere and everyone, the world has ceased to exist. And you can say with Christ, you can say as Christ, I have overcome the world. But really, what you have overcome is a personal human span of life taking place in passing time. You have stepped out of time, and the world shall be no more. Isn't it fabulous? Isn't it wonderful? From now on, when you hear reports of someone dying, someone passing away, when someone in your family appears to die, when you read reports in the news of people dying horrible deaths, turn within yourself immediately. Get a sense of your eternal life, of that Christ presence with you. And ask yourself, does Christ ever die? Has Christ ever died? Can Christ, that eternal life, ever die? I'm sure that you will recognize that no, Christ cannot die. And therefore, this that is tempting me to become hypnotized into believing in a life that can come to an end, this is the very thing that we are stepping out of. The illusion of passing time and a human span of life. And maybe you can help for the people around you that are still hypnotized by knowing this truth for them and about them. Here and there they may turn to you and realize, how come she's not grieving? How come he seems to be calm when all about him is falling apart? And of course, right then you will not be able to share with them what you know, but you can be a help and a positive influence and lift them up so that when the grieving does pass and they ask you, then you can present them with the beginning books and tapes and things that have helped you come to this point. Because they will ask. They will sense something different about you. And now a word about the healing principles. If someone asks you for help or a problem is presented to you, ask yourself, is this taking place in passing time? And if it is, and if you recognize it immediately, then drop it. Once again, get in touch within yourself with that eternal Christ consciousness that is everywhere and every when right now. Step into that plane. Rest in that presence. And that presence will shatter the dream. That presence will dissolve the appearance of time and space. As Joel told us, we cannot add Christ to time and space. But what he didn't say, and what we know and are coming to see, is that by resting in our eternal Christ identity, time and space is dissolved. Blessings to you who practice this, who come out from the world, from the tomb of time and space, and discover the limitless, omnipresent, every when present, eternal plane of existence that is your home and your true identity. Christ beckons you on. Will you now follow me?